gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We do not expect harmful levels of radiation to reach the West Coast, Hawaii, Alaska, or U.S. territories in the Pacific.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be... Nobody help me. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody! 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, not just Friday. The Friday before vacation. Oh, dear God. The show may explode today, Chris LaVoy.
Why?
Valerie Plame, yes. Coming up. Actress-comedian Jerry Jewell. Senator Bernie Sanders. Representative Charlie Rangel.
Charlie Rangel.
Comedian Michael McDonald. Daniel Slattic, producer of Prayers for Bobby.
Holy crap.
On the big show today.
Who booked this monstrosity?
Rebecca clearly just in a hammock all day, lazing off, taking early vacation. Here I am, alone as usual, as you know. My house husband David Bender left me yesterday. After the longest relationship I've ever had, 4 days, I'm gnawing on all my leftovers that I slaved myself cooking. I'm gnawing. Look at this. Ustream. I'm gnawing on Cornish game hens.
Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
On things that David Bender gnawed on. I'm gnawing on leftovers from my recently departed husband.
That is the biggest piece of Tupperware I have ever seen in my life.
It's all I had left. It's the Friday before vacation. All right. Oh, well. You know, David Bender blew my cover as a strong feminist woman.
Why?
Because I just became a little housewife all week. I've been waiting on him hand and foot.
Hence the frilly dress.
And you know when else I become kind of a helpless female?
When?
When anything in my house breaks.
Well, yes.
And I thought I could never love a man like I love David Bender, but I love Wes from DeckPro.org so very much, Chris. You know, you've been to my house. You've seen it raining in my house.
I have. It rained on my computer.
Yes, until I met Wes, let me say his name right, Mersing from DeckPro.org. Good morning, Wes.
Good morning, there, Stephanie.
See, he's the voice of calm.
Yes.
When it's raining in my house. Wes, I just wanted to have you on and thank you because my new deck looks spectacular and it's not raining in my house anymore.
Oh, thank you very much.
So now the radioactive rain will not penetrate into my office thanks to you. But I wanted to say thank you. You did a great job. And I have to tell you, it's really rare. Normally, if you listen to the show, I get ripped off by contractors. You did a great job. I thought I was going to have to put a giant condom on my house, Wes. And your deck is amazing.
Thank you very much, Steffi. I'm glad we're able to get that waterproof for you.
Well, and I've got to say one thing, too. This never happens to me. You went the extra mile. You not only, because the deck, I was having problems from my deck forever. I had a brick deck. So you did a VersaDeck on there, but then I was having a problem from a gutter and a wall. He fixed that too, Chris.
Wow.
He fixed that too. You went the extra mile, and nobody ever does that to make sure a customer's happy.
Yeah, thank you very much. I try to do that just to make sure that we do make sure everything is waterproof 100% for you. Since you got me there to take care of the deck waterproofing for you, I want to make sure everything else will work for you as well, so you don't have any problems in the future.
I love you, Wes. Now, and you go the extra mile for everyone, not just people that have radio shows, right?
Right. Of course.
It is deckpro.org. And I have to tell you, have you always hated moisture? How did you become a waterproofing expert?
It's something I grew up in doing as a kid. So it's just one of those areas. I like to fish. I'd be on the boats, and the boats have a waterproof surface. So it kind of works together. So now I waterproof decks on houses just like you would do on a boat.
I've got to tell you, Chris, you can confirm this. I've had these problems forever because you even stayed in my house.
I did.
I was having leak problems for years, literally. I kept doing little fixes and whatever. And, Deck, you are my knight in shining waterproof or armor. You really are.
Thank you very much.
He's so humble, too. Listen to him. It is deckpro.org, right, if you're here in the Los Angeles area and you have any deck or waterproofing needs, correct?
Correct.
It's Wes Mersing. He's so shy. That's what I love about my deck boyfriend. All right, Wes, thanks again. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes. Aww. It's Wes Mersing from deckpro.org. Aww. He's the only man I've ever been able to count on. You know me. I have such trouble hanging on to a man. I don't know why.
You know who else you can count on?
Who?
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is...
Fridays with Fugles.
City's on fire.
Good morning, children. Good morning, Wes.
You're not... He's not good at waterproofing, but he's good at everything else. It's John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau for all 3 hours. Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Good morning, Stephanie. I was very impressed that Wes didn't go into detail about how you tried to seduce him. That was really nice.
Yeah.
What a gentleman.
You know, a man shows up at my house for cocktail hour. I'm like, well, hello.
Well, that was a nice segue. I haven't seen that kind of love for a roofer since Liz Taylor snagged Larry Fortensky. It was beautiful.
He's a decker.
He's a decker. Oh, and then since Nadia Comaneci snagged that guy.
I'm surprised you didn't invite him over for your monkey funeral.
Oh, no. David Bender was there, though. Oh, okay. David Bender's on the phone because
what?
He can't. Because, you know what? Once you had a taste of mama, you can't get enough. Hello, David Bender.
You're cheating on me, okay? I expected Fugelsang, okay? We have an open relationship. It's Friday. I you know, I leave you with one man, and then you've got Wes the deck guy.
How it is, Dave.
Listen, I'm gnawing on leftovers that you've gnawed on all week, my friend, and
I didn't leave Wes. I don't want to know that you're gnawing on Wes the deck guy.
I just sat looking at your empty chair in my office and just...
it's all too sad. John, I need your help here.
Tell me.
She's a strong feminist woman.
I know. But, you can't put her in a cage of golden bars, Bender. You may try to, but that one's got to be passed around like a blunt at the Source Awards.
And by the way, this is the first Larry Fortensky joke I've heard in a very long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that is. Wow.
I hope everyone in Radioland is impressed that I pulled the Larry Fortensky on a Friday morning. Thank you.
It was a double Fortensky, actually, and you landed. It was a perfect 10.
I don't even think he was a roofer. That was Nadia Comaneci's guy, I think. My 80s adultery of celebrities with contractors is sketchy.
All right. Well, I miss you, Bender.
I miss you, Miller.
Precious.
Have a wonderful vacation.
All right, honey. You too. I'll see
all
you
right,
soon. You're lucky.
Guys.
You're lucky. You're not floating face down in my pool. But bye bye.
Not yet.
Bender and Miller sounds like a comedy team from the 40s.
Bender and Miller, everybody. It's the new Nichols and May.
I have to share you with so many men, Steph. It just breaks my heart.
I know. I feel like... And you are in the... What's more romantic than St. Patrick's Day in New York?
I tell you how beautiful it is? It was just amateur night all over the city. It's so great that there's one time a year when outer borough guys can come into Manhattan and selflessly donate their urine to our sidewalks.
Yes,
it's beautiful.
Thank you.
And their girlfriends can donate their vomit to our sidewalks. It's
that's
fantastic.
So it smells like Irishman urine and their girlfriend's vomit.
No, it's a faux Irishman urine. And their girlfriend's vomit.
So
it's when American guys celebrate their Irish heritage by worshiping a Welsh saint and wearing Scottish kilts. That's all it is.
Is it a bridge and tunnel crowd that takes over Manhattan?
A bridge and tunnel is a polite term for what this is. It was just,
Well, as delightful as that sounds, John, now, you know, we've had this turf war, you know, this New York-LA, rap war going on, and now that the radioactive plume is here, now I want to know if I can come stay with you in New York again.
Oh, we're ready for you, but I'm moving out to L.A. because I'm opening a potassium iodide smoothie shop. So I'll be out there, but you can use my empty place.
We got a million
to feed the cats.
Are you okay?
Yeah, our West Coast rival. And I'm flying to California tomorrow, just in time.
I'm flying back east this weekend.
Where are you
going to
be?
Damn.
That's right. Just in time for acid rain.
I am going to D.C. for a three-way with Randy Rhodes and the Howard, among other
very
things.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I'm going out west to open up my potassium iodide place because even though there's a 50-mile danger radius and we're 5,500 miles away, I want my potassium iodide now.
Yeah, why not? And why not? We have John Fugelsang. I don't know if you heard the guest lineup today, for God's sakes.
Oh, my God.
We are. You know what, Chris? I'm almost going to start believing my own press as Radio's Woman of the Year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Almost.
We have some breaking adultery news from Madison. Hello, Mike and Madison.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, hi, go ahead.
Okay, am I on?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, well, lots of good news coming from Wisconsin, folks.
Yes.
Number one, this is apropos to the Republican coup. The collective bargaining bill that was passed surreptitiously is likely going to be enjoined from taking effect. So that's
really?
A real legal coup, informed legal observers have told me, meaning my attorney friends. So
wow, okay. And then Joanne Kloppenburg, by the way, is going to be on the show next week when we're back from vacation.
She's going to kill Justice David Prosser, who by the way, is a closeted gay man, but that's nothing wrong
what?
With that.
We don't, what? We don't know that to be true. What?
I will state it. You are denying it, and I will state it as a fact. But
we know for sure he's a coke sucker. What?
Coke fiend, please.
Like, yes, like Governor Walker, a Coke Brother fan.
You guys rock.
Yes.
The other piece of good news is that the cheating Senator Randy Hopper of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Yes, whose lovely wife signed the recall, yes.
Right. Well, actually, it's not true. She didn't sign the recall.
Oh, the maid did.
No, the maid did. And I, Mal Contends, and Zach at Blogging Blue in Wisconsin broke the story, and it has gone viral. It went national.
Yes, his wife explained that he was no in casa because he's in Madison with his 25-year-old mistress.
Right, and now she's 26, actually, now, too. And she's very beautiful and very cute. And as a matter of fact, it just seems...
Well, isn't that delightful news for his wife?
Yeah, I don't think she's taking any solace from those facts. This is national now. People know it. They know he's a disgusting hypocrite. And secondly, informed election observers
I think those people talk recall all the time. Like, those sound, you know, like they got a lot of steam behind them, recalls for the Republicans.
I was in Fond du Lac 2 days ago, and believe me, this guy will be easily recalled, and he will be defeated. And he's now considered the single most vulnerable Republican senator. And there's 8 right now.
Yep, absolutely. Mike, thanks for the update. And by the way, we have news breaking left and right. And when it breaks here, Chris, it stays broken.
It does.
Libya has declared a ceasefire.
Yes.
Which is...
Against their own people?
I don't know. He's apparently, you know, this UN...
resolution.
The resolution.
For the no-fly zone.
Had some effect.
Yeah.
Yes, that's great. I'm glad the UN finally got together.
Imagine not having to preemptively bomb a country. Imagine that.
Who knew? What a failure of Obama.
Yes. I was just going to say. We'll hear later in Right Wing World why this is bad. Why this is something the president did wrong.
Because he lacks experience to be president, and that's why I'm supporting Chris Christie.
Exactly. What? 18 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fugelsang as we continue on a great big Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Go on, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated.
And he is watching us on ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Indeed, as everyone who can hear my voice should be doing right now.
How do
Stephanie
you?
Looks great, and Chris could make me cross over to the dark side.
All right. The question of the hour. Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts. Are we safe from radioactive plumes? Hello, Jeff.
Absolutely. I'm very, 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 very cautious. And the reason I'm calling is I'm planning a trip to San Diego. Actually, I'm going in a week. Before I do that, I just want to say, John, you may remember me. I was the lone progressive caller when you were on Severin a few weeks ago in Salem.
In Boston. Jay Severin.
It was unbelievable.
In the cold tundra. You know what? I don't even know why they asked me there in the first place. And they said they wanted to have, like, you know, something contentious. And I'm like, I'm not coming in there to fight with the guy. I'm going to make him my best friend. And damn it, I did. By the last day, he was defending me to his callers.
Wow.
Really? Wow, I don't remember that. But anyway, you were great.
He does have a beating heart.
I thought you were very gracious with him. Absolutely. So thanks for being in Boston. Anyway, so I'm coming into San Diego, and I was wondering about any protections I might need. First of all, I thought a potassium iodide colada would be a nice...
Yes, yes, that's what we greet you with that when you get off the plane.
Yes.
That's right, so I was hoping something like that, and maybe a recommendation for a place to purchase a hazmat bathing suit.
Yes.
Any ideas?
Yes, like an iron apron bathing suit. Enjoy. All right, Jeff. I love that people call me for advice. My friend who has 2 kids, one of my best friends here in L.A., she literally calls me, John, to say, should I leave? Should I take my kid? I'm like... I'm a fart show comedian. Why are you asking me? Like, they think I somehow have this information because I have a radio show.
Well, we talked to Sanjay Gupta earlier this week. He didn't say leave.
All right.
Yeah, you met Sanjay Gupta. You can tell me.
You know why I
can't
leave?
How's my cholesterol?
I actually tried to leave, and I can't because of the airlines. That's why I can't leave. I hate the airlines. You know, well, like, you used to be able to just change, right? $50 change fee, whatever it was.
Oh, no. Those days are long gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. You got to buy a whole new ticket, and now it's $1 billion.
That's right.
Your bags get a $50 change fee.
And who makes plans, you know, the 7 months in advance or whatever?
Well,
I mean, I had no idea Randy Woods would say yes to a three-way. Now I have to rush it.
Why don't you just rent a car?
Now I have to spend more time with my Republican relatives in North Carolina.
Oh, come on. You'll love it.
All right. So anyway, yeah, that's what the president said, is that we don't have, what did he say?
It's completely safe.
Do you believe that, John? I don't know who to believe now. He said Thursday that harmful levels of radiation from the Japanese nuclear disaster are not expected to reach the U.S. He has asked the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to conduct a comprehensive review of the safety of all U.S. nuclear plants. But, you know, John, we've heard some terrifying things this week about nuclear plants from Greg Palast and others.
I want to believe it because Obama says it and because everyone says it. The entire United Scientific Community says it. We don't know yet about acid rain, and Hawaii's only 4,000 miles away. But what's interesting is this power struggle going on between the U.S. government and Japan in terms of the information, because it's almost like either our government is trying to undermine theirs or their government is lying to their people.
Well, exactly. You know, which we asked Richard Louie, you know, the MSNBC reporter, he said, like, who do you believe? Because it's there is a lot of, and the other thing, John, is we don't know how this is going to end. Right now, by the way, the breaking news. You know how we've learned more about nukes than we never ever thought we'd need.
Yes.
Chris, like now we might be at sarcophagus stage. Remember the Gulf oil, John? Remember the top hat and the junk shot?
The top kill and the cap and the
hanging chad.
So apparently they were doing the helicopters yesterday, but you're going, well, gee, it's kind of easy to miss from that far up. It's like, you know, guys can't even hit the toilet. Did you see how high up they were? Because you can't get that close,
right.
And they're trying to put water on the, and most of it, right? Like, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's incredible. There's 180 people in Japan risking their lives for the rest of their society. Over here, we have people who scream because we want to give sick people health care.
I know.
But there's 180 people who maybe putting their lives at jeopardy right now to try to stop this and contain it. It's just so moving to see. But yeah, we have no idea what's going to happen, and it's not funny, and it's too soon to speculate. And we hope the West Coast is okay. We don't know what acid rain could do with this. But
by the way,
it's
let me just devolve into cheap 80s stand-up chick humor. Why can't you hit the toilet? You're only like 2 feet up. If helicopters can get some of the water in the rods. God knows how many miles up. I'm just asking.
I hit the toilet.
It's 2 feet.
I hit the toilet. Thank
most
you.
Well,
us,
depending
most
on
us
how
do,
big you are. What?
Most of us do.
Mm.
Yeah. And the
how
water's cold.
All right. But the point
the water
is
cold.
The point
yeah,
is one
is.
Of
and
our
deep, ex- too.
Yes. One of our one of our experts
thank
yesterday
you.
Told us that this is, you know, it's one of those, like, you know, the last, you know, ditch, you know, it's the worst case scenario. But the Japanese engineers conceded that they may have to bury the nuclear plant in sand and concrete, which is what they call the sarcophagus or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Which is what they did with Chernobyl.
Yeah. I mean, they said it's our priority right now is to try and cool them down first, which is obviously what they're trying, but that may be...
And overnight, it was raised to a level 5 nuclear emergency, which is what Three Mile Island was.
Yeah, emergency
workers. They were saying
workers,
level 2 and 3 on Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah, they've been trying everything that they can think of: helicopters, heavy duty trucks, water cannons. That you know that normally you use on rioters. They couldn't be sure any of it was easing the peril. Three of the reactors have had at least partial meltdowns. But in even greater danger has emerged. Japanese and U.S. concerns were increasingly focusing on the pools used to store the spent nuclear fuel. Some of the pools are dry or nearly empty, and the rods could obviously heat up and spew radiation. So that's the main concern.
And this is why we need more nukes here with less regulation from the government.
Don't you think that maybe we should have a little more pre-planning than, well, let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
What about a water cannon? What about Nerf balls?
What about not building it next to the ocean?
There you go. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
What I really want is for everything to go back to the way it used to be. I just want to wake up in the morning and look over at
Stephanie Miller.
Sleep on a neighbor's roof.
Losey neighbors. 34. Yeah, mind your own business.
On boy band's roof.
34 minutes after the hour. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Well, hello now.
Aren't we fancy?
Certified pre-owned vehicles. Certified affordable luxury. Check us out with our fancy sponsors.
We love Mercedes-Benz.
Michael in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys? You know, I really take offense to this, Stephanie.
What's that?
What you said.
What's that?
Well, you talk about guys.
Men missing
having
the toilet.
That aim. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I go to this coffee shop in Hollywood, and it has a unisex bathroom, and I always know it's going to be a mess if I go in behind a woman, because women in Hollywood don't sit. They straddle, and they have nothing to aim.
Oh, because they don't want to sit in the toilet seat. So
yeah,
you have to,
exactly.
Well,
and
right. And if you don't do P90X, your thighs aren't strong enough.
Fall.
Yeah, yeah.
So really, the bad guy is God for how he designed the anatomies of both genders, is what you're saying here.
No, you have to do P90X, is his point, John, so that you have thighs strong enough to be able to, like, hover, you know, without sitting and still not miss.
Get those hamstrings and glutes going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, I grew up on Long Island, so I learned the aim with the Long Island Railroad, because if you can master that, okay, first of all, you're like in a, like, it's like a Jackass stunt where you're in a portable portisan that's like thrown out of a catapult, and then once you flush, there's this suction that will leave your anatomy dragging along the tracks until Ronkonkoma. So really, if you can master the LIRR men's rooms, men, you are the William Tell.
And plus, you do P90X to be strong enough to hold that, because that's, I mean...
Exactly.
I can't even imagine what it weighs. All right, now...
Does it dump right onto the tracks?
Hmm?
I can't tell if it's that or it's just Long Island. I'm not sure.
Oh.
All right. The president yesterday on the tragedy in Japan.
Yesterday, we called for an evacuation of American citizens who are within 50 miles of the plant. This decision was based upon a careful scientific evaluation.
By the way, so, John, that was part of what you referred to, not, I wouldn't say dissension, but obviously, you know, the Japanese were saying a smaller radius. Listen, if those of us in L.A. are thinking about getting in our cars, I would guess, like, anyone in Japan might be...
I mean, we all admire how the Japanese are taking care of each other, and, you know, it's amazing watching the news, seeing hysterical Americans shocked at the lack of hysteria among the Japanese. They're being very calm and orderly, but as the Japanese folks see our government telling people to get further away, and their government saying, no, 20 miles is fine, it's going to be really interesting seeing what happens to their government. This could really change a lot.
Yeah, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission head said it could take possibly weeks to get the complex under control, and he was the one that recommended the 50 miles zone, a much stronger measure than Japan has taken, but he defended that. I mean, I'm not a nuclear expert, and that seems to make common sense to me. I mean, you know, it's like the Fukushima 50, John, that they're talking about. I mean, it's even having to say, oh, well, you know, they might likely fail. It's like somebody yesterday was a nuclear worker that called in. He said, they're dead men walking. I mean, it's horrible to say it, but you know that they mustn't. They know it. I mean, it's are you kidding me? People are going, oh, they might, have some future health risks. It's like, come on.
Now, when they finally get this thing sealed and, you know, are they able to have family members come and visit them, or will they be spewing so much radiation that it'd be unsafe?
No, I don't know.
I mean, it's heartbreaking, these letters and these emails.
Oh my God.
I mean, then they could live, you know, for a while and just die of a devastating cancer death. But, it's just astonishing. We don't even know these people's names.
But that's the horrible thing, John, when you think about that, is that's exactly right. Is you go, they're signing up for what they know is likely a horrible death. Can you imagine not knowing when? Like, okay, I wonder how soon I'm going to get this horrible cancer
But the thing is, tragedies like this, you know, they bring out the best in the human race and the worst, too. And I know that were this to happen here, there would be Americans who would volunteer to go in there and do that to save their communities. So.
Like our firemen and policemen on 9/11. But people have talked about this, but the Fukushima 50 is actually a group of 180 power plant workers working in rotating shifts of 50. So it's more than the 50 people that are doing this. They're doing all they can to stop the plant's nuclear reactors and fuel from leaking additional radiation. Some are calling their task a suicide mission. While other nuclear experts assuring a worried world that they know exactly what they're doing, all the proper precautions are in place. But, you know, John, someone was saying yesterday, there isn't a suit, that they have made that's good if you're that close to radiation, you know.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the nurse leaves the room when the x-ray is pointed on you.
They run, actually, which is...
Yeah. It's just devastating. And again, it's like, you know, we're so lucky that we're removed from this. I mean, Americans are panicking about Americans. Were Americans on the West Coast panicking when we dropped radiation on the Japanese in 1945? I don't know.
Well, we didn't know much about it back then.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, John, we were talking about, I think Deepak Chopra made this point. He said, can you imagine if Americans had to watch that live on TV the way we do now, you know, mm-hmm. in this sort of wired world, if you had to watch in real time? What would have happened with the, you know, stockpiling of nukes around the world? I mean,
And when you look at what these folks have been through with the earthquake, the tsunami, the nuclear disaster, then snow on top of it.
I know.
It's kind of interesting watching the news media because we had all the tsunami footage the first couple of days, right? And then Tuesday and Wednesday, it was nothing but that nuke plant through the hazy, you know, that little distant thing with smoke rising out of it. And then I think yesterday, I don't know how much we're supposed to be scared and how much the media wants us to be scared for ratings, but yesterday, I don't know if you noticed, it was back to tsunami footage on all the channels. Like, I guess it wasn't testing well with the nuke plant footage, and they were back to devastating pictures of tsunamis again.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we're supposed to be scared of this.
I made a grave error yesterday. I actually watched the dog video of the one dog that won't leave the other sick dog.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. But I heard they got the two dogs, and they're okay.
Yeah, the dogs are okay. They're in a shelter now. Oh. And so, you know,
I was thinking the injured one survived.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
But see, I would fly into the radiation zone for that. I was like, I have to get those dogs. I was wondering that if someone, because I'm like going, okay, can you put the camera down now and somebody go help them too?
The Japanese Humane Society rescued them.
Okay.
So that's great. Yep. I think many people
I saw a lot of it yesterday, them, you know, finally getting kids off. They were getting people out of trees and off rooftops. And, you know, I mean, it's the Daily Mail.
And they're all helping each other. Why aren't they looting? Why aren't they looting and cannibalizing?
The Daily Mail shares how one woman, and I think Ed Schultz was reporting yesterday, John, there is some looting, but how have you seen the pictures? Do you call that looting?
No.
You know what?
They're trying to stay
alive.
And
honestly,
you know,
when it's food, I don't call it looting. It's food. If they're taking TVs, if they're taking luxury items,
that's
then
looting. Yeah.
But these, God bless Ed Schultz, but he said that it was looting, and it was like it's food storage facility. I mean, the food's going to go bad otherwise.
Yeah.
Take the food and feed your family.
Yeah.
My God.
Well, I mean, technically, but that's what I'm saying. It's just, it's The Daily Mail shares this one woman I was talking about. She's a wife of one of the Fukushima 50. Mm-hmm. That she revealed to her husband and sent her an email urging her to please live well, that he wouldn't be returning home for a while. I mean, you know, I think these people kind of know. One girl tweeted, people at the plant are struggling, sacrificing themselves to protect you. Please, Dad, come back alive. Another girl said her father is still working at the plant. He's accepted his fate, much like a death sentence. You know, imagine what it's like to be those relatives. I mean, where your loved ones are still alive, and yet,
All right. And these aren't the nuke plant CEOs. These are the labor. These are the workers who are doing it for everyone else. I get the feeling the people who own the plants aren't there risking their lives.
Yeah. Michael Donnelly, U.S. Air Force Secretary.
There is no threat to our personnel there. Although radiation readings across Japan are spiking temporarily based on the local conditions at the nuclear reactors involved and also the prevailing weather. So there are little spikes up and down depending on where you are.
Have we quarantined Lester Holt yet? Or
and Curry?
Anderson
just saying.
Quarantined?
I'm just, no offense, but it should be like Old Yeller right now. I'm just saying there should be a shed somewhere, so, you know.
That's awful.
No.
Because you know what happens to
Listen,
Old Yeller.
Listen, I watch Silkwood. They just got to go through the really horrible shower with the lie and the steel wool.
The Silkwood shower.
Yes, whatever.
I've never
Meryl
seen that
Streep
movie.
Can explain what happens, and then they'll be fine. I'm just saying, let's just be sure they're not, you know, radiating the rest of us.
I just watched Silkwood again last week, actually, Chris. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
Yeah, it holds up. Mike Nichols, pretty good.
Cher. Right.
I think Cher's best performance in a film, I would say.
My best experience with...
How dare you? After Burlesque, how could you say such a thing?
I said Cher, not the waxen effigy formerly known as Cher.
Yeah. My experience with nuclear movies is The Day After, where everybody dies. So,
You're not a happy ending guy. Except for Massage. All right.
I'll have you know, I've never gotten a massage like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Never did nothing he paid for.
You know, just when you think the disaster could not get worse, I don't know why this struck me out of the AP story. With diapers hard to find in many areas, there was a broadcast on a how-to session on how to fashion a diaper from a plastic shopping bag and a towel.
Oh, why?
I mean, seriously. That's just, you know, another ripple effect that you couldn't have...
Yeah, that's a first world problem. Those sort of like Limbaugh mocking those silly Japanese refugees recycling in their camps.
Yeah. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission guy.
We think it's a prudent measure to follow the evacuation based on how we would handle a situation like that in the United States.
Gregory Yasko is his name.
Sure.
Yes.
Like someone would go, what? No, not that guy.
I know you saw that last name and saw that it was an alphabet soup, and so you've avoided saying his last name the whole
week.
Then
I just
say
the guy.
That's why he is the guy?
Yeah.
Stephanie has finally kicked her addiction to phonics.
Yeah. I always pull, he sees that, like, because it's on my soundbite list, and I just pull vault over the names,
you
and
really
I just sort
do.
Of...
Yeah,
kind of.
Gregory Yasko
the
is
the person from the
place.
Right, you send Chris down into the linguistic reactor. To do that for you.
I have underlings for that. I don't do that. Now here he is again, Gregory
Yasko.
We believe that there is no water in the spent fuel pool known as number 4. And I would say that it is my great hope that the information that we have is not accurate. I would hope for the sake of everyone that the situation is not at the state that we think it is.
Yeah, that's a little...
Yeah, me too.
That's a little... that's the problem. There's a lot of things that are a little confusing.
Why does our intelligence say that it's a lot worse than what Japan is saying?
Yeah. Why do I get the feeling I'm going to be an empty plane flying to San Francisco tomorrow and everyone's going to be flying out?
Yeah, I think I better get to the airport early this weekend.
Yeah.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour, we continue with Fridays with Fuglesang, Right Wing World, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Don't you know?
Don't you know? Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This section of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Promo code is Stephanie. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number, Valerie Plame Wilson. Calling in just in a few minutes after the top of the hour, John Fugel's saying, check me out.
Wow, that's awesome.
She knows a little something about nukes.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to know her thoughts on Bradley Manning and WikiLeaks, too.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Yes, because suddenly
you know, because when you think about it, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of folks on the left who are outraged that Karl Rove would and the Bush White House would release secrets and then are defending what Bradley Manning did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to know her thoughts on it.
Well, yeah, and the people on the right wing now think they want to, like, bomb a country to find
mm-hmm.
wherever Julian Assange is, because now leaking stuff is really bad.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
poor
terrible now.
Poor Bradley Manning, I mean, he's just being kept in god-awful conditions.
Yeah, well,
we don't do that in America.
We do that in America, and that's something that, without criticizing the president, I'd like to see addressed.
Mm-hmm.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Charles in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charles.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Come on.
Yeah, well, you know, last weekend I warned the Navy about the radiation coming offshore and affecting the sailors, and they finally figured it out by Monday to move the ships further away. Now, this weekend I'm concerned about the L.A. Marathon. Those runners are going to be out there for 2 to 4 hours, and that radiation and expecting precipitation. So I would advise people, you know, if you don't have to run, you know, just hold off from running a marathon.
That's this Sunday?
Yeah, that's this weekend. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
and
I mean, we
got the radiation coming this weekend.
Yeah, I know.
It's interesting because O'Donnell had on
I think it's here, Chris, by the way, we reported. That they're saying. I mean, it's just, but obviously what they're reporting is that it's not.
That it's a billion times less unhealthy levels, so.
I don't know if you all saw Lawrence O'Donnell talking to the physicist last night, the Japanese-American physicist, who said, you know, there's a piece of Chernobyl inside all of us, a tiny little microscopic piece. I mean, it's out there, and we can live with it. And you know, I'm comforted that the experts are unanimous. I'm not worrying about this yet.
Yeah, I'm not either.
All right, speaking of experts, let's dive into Right Wing World, where a nuclear expert, Ann Coulter, had this to say.
What? When did she become an expert?
A stunning number of physicists, and there's a growing body of evidence that radiation in excess of what the government says are the minimum amounts you should be exposed to are actually good for you and reduce cases of cancer.
Well,
cancer-causing radiation.
We're all going to get radiation just in case we get cancer. Oh, I see. So it's good for you, really.
Yes.
What?
Well, yeah, well, yes, you do use radiation to treat cancer, but that's
concentrated. Yes, well, with our health care system, listen, free radiation. What's wrong with that?
Cutting taxes for wealthy helps the deficit.
Oh, boy.
She's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. I wonder if we put Ann Coulter around radiation if she would grow a heart. That would be interesting to see.
Why don't we airlift?
I wonder if it would shrink her testicles. Oh, come on now.
Oh.
Kids.
Why don't we airlift her into the broken reactor and have her fix it if she's so unafraid of
she's
the radiation?
She's an expert.
Yeah.
And she's good for you.
Sure.
It's so people that really care
for
Ann Coulter like us and want her to be healthier.
I mean, she does look sickly. So why not?
Sing. Okay, she could stop chain smoking for a minute and go help the Japanese people because radiation's so good for you.
You know what? She could even chain smoke in the reactor. I'm sure it wouldn't hurt the reactor a bit.
Is she a smoker?
Yes.
Ah.
Big time.
How does a woman that age have that little body fat, for God's sakes? Of course she's a smoker. All right.
Her sustenance is all Chardonnay and cigarettes.
She lives on Chardonnay and cigarettes. Yeah. All right, Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends.
America's watching a looming nuclear meltdown in Japan, a crisis in Libya, and a budget battle in Washington. But where the heck is the president? Golfing, filling out brackets, talking about bullying.
Oh, boy.
Has Obama gone AWOL?
Yes, that's the talking point. We heard it 17 times yesterday in Right Wing
World. A real man will be clearing brush on his fake ranch right now.
Exactly.
And in fairness,
that was a good one, John Fickerson.
In fairness, not the best idea for Obama to do his NBA picks.
Yeah, but if he didn't, they'd say he's a puss and he doesn't he's not into sports and he's not a regular guy. I mean, it's just it doesn't matter
True
what
that.
He does. They're gonna
True that. Well, that's the fairness I expect from Brian Kilmeade.
Yes. Hi. How about Steve Ducey? Do you want to go up the intelligence ladder?
The president has gone AWOL. We haven't really heard about him in the no-fly zone in Libya. He hasn't really come out and talked much about what's going on in Japan. These are two big things we want to hear from our president.
Yes, and he's spoken about both of them, in case you weren't paying attention.
At great length, actually.
We want to hear from our president, who's not the real president because he's Kenyan.
I love they always assume that he's just not doing anything behind the scenes, unless Fox News knows that he must not be doing anything. He's not talking to anybody or, you know. Okay. Rush Limbaugh on Libya.
It's shocking to see headlines about how we're waiting for a UN resolution about going into Libya. This is just not who we are. We're the ones going to the UN trying to get a coalition put together, as in Iraq. It's why we need somebody with good judgment at the helm who has an interest in U.S. interest in it, and it doesn't appear that that's the case.
Let's just say our days of having the UN trust us in coalition building is a bit over for a while after Iraq, Rush.
Well, except that he must have missed... Oh, I guess because the breaking news was this morning that Libya has declared a ceasefire because of the UN resolution.
Yep. Although there is a little breaking news from...
Some more breaking news.
Misrata, Libya. Gaddafi, a resident there says Gaddafi says he has a ceasefire, but Misrata, Libya is on fire and is under fire.
Is that near Mizrahi?
No.
No. Mizrata resident, international community must bomb him into submission and try him.
Yes.
Is what
After they
mean.
Bomb him into submission. I am proud the UN was finally able to achieve consensus that Gaddafi's kind of douchey. That was good. I'm glad they could agree on that in 2011. But it's nice to see the UN
is
agreeing
that the exact
on something.
Wording?
Something sort of along those lines, Rather douchey, I believe, is what they...
I believe, you know, we could just send George Takei in, and that might solve this whole thing.
Aye, Captain. Photon torpedoes locked and loaded.
A douchebag.
Okay. Glenn Beck on the radio.
This president is a lefty, and this president is... look what he has done to this country in 2 years.
Uh-huh.
He's about to go for re-election. If there is no one standing for the truth, if there is no one that is willing to say the hard things and really be open and honest and just say this, you've seen what this president has done when he only had 2 years and then he had to get reelected. If he's reelected, he will finish the job. The country will not survive a second term.
Oh,
it just wouldn't.
Wow. Is that what he's running on? President is going to run on finishing us.
There was not a single specific detail in that entire rant.
No, not at all.
No, it's just the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah, if you want to know how much of a lefty Obama is, go to some lefty blogs and see how popular he is these days.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Donald Trump's a birther, everybody.
Everybody that even gives any hint of being a birther, a word you didn't use, even a little bit of a hint like, maybe this much of a chance, they label them as an idiot. Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy. I was a really good student at the best school in the country. The reason I have a little doubt, just a little, is because he grew up and nobody knew him. Nobody ever comes forward. Nobody knows who he is until later in his life. It's very strange. The whole thing is very strange.
He said everybody remembers him, probably because he was such an obnoxious asshat,
yes,
I'm guessing.
Because his dad was a billionaire, maybe. He'd be popular.
That's huge. Huge news.
Huge.
Huge. 58 minutes after the hour, Valerie Plame Wilson next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with Fuglesang, John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau of the Stephanie Miller Incorporated. We have the show may explode. Jim Ward is here, for one. Voice of the Idiot, Jim Ward. We have Jerry Jewell, comedian extraordinaire, coming up. Senator Bernie Sanders, Representative Charlie Rangel.
Charlie Rangel?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Rangel. Is that mimic still there?
Comedian Michael McDonald and much
Can
more.
We have a three-way Rangel-off?
StephanieMiller.com is the website. Listen, we have a big name. You know, you all know my self-esteem couldn't be much worse.
Why?
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 Because I'm
Look
me.
At her.
You had that virtual sex session with Wes on the phone this morning, and I thought you were in the deck.
Listen, the important thing is, if you want to feel even worse about yourself, go spend time with the beautiful, brilliant, and she can cook, Valerie Plame Wilson joins us now. Good morning, Val.
Good morning. That's quite a run-up.
I was lucky enough to have dinner at your house with your lovely and talented husband, Ambassador Joe Wilson, over Christmas, and I told you that. I said, okay, you're beautiful, brilliant, and you make a delightful angel cake. Which...
Yes, well, between that and nuclear counterproliferation, you know, it's all in the day's work.
Yes, and your husband, I can confirm, makes a delightful paella, which...
Mm. He did, that's right. So you're welcome back anytime. You are a delightful guest.
You have, you have cute kids, a cute dog. I said to you and Joe, it's the first movie in movie history where the actual people are better looking than the actors.
Yeah.
I'm sorry they had to settle with Naomi Watts.
You're just angling for the next invitation. You didn't have to do any of that. You're welcome.
Can I just say, before we get to all the... because when I say, first of all, it was way over my head intellectually at that dinner. You're, of course, your husband, the ambassador. You're a nuclear proliferation expert, and I was just like, duh. I don't know what I said other than duh. But
No, you more than held your own, Stephanie. No worries. I'm going to help your own. Your self-esteem does need to be cradled a bit.
A little bit. Can I just say, okay, so before we get to the important stuff, I just love, you know, when you go through your Wikipedia, when you met your husband, Ambassador Joe Wilson, I love this. You told him that you were an energy trader in Brussels, because, of course, you were an undercover CIA agent. So, I mean, everybody loves lies on Facebook and Craigslist and, you know, eHarmony anyway.
Exactly. I was just ahead of the curve there, that's all. Well, it was love at first sight, and but I couldn't tell him right on the spot there exactly what
yes.
I did.
Oh, by the way, I'm a spy.
Yeah. See how
that goes over.
Now, so then it says you obviously, as you began dating, became close. Then you then, so what, can you just explain to us how that happens? Do you just, honey, pass the gravy? By the way, I'm a CIA, I'm an undercover CIA agent.
A lesser man might be intimidated.
Yes.
Well, it really was love at first sight, and I was fortunate in that I knew that his life experience, he had worked with folks from the agency, intelligence, all throughout his career. He wasn't, you know, it wasn't a completely new universe for him, so I was fortunate in that respect. But because so few people, I mean, my parents, my brother knew where I actually worked, it was nevertheless very anxiety-producing to be able to.
I bet. Was there a Jerry?
Explain to someone.
Was there
really
did he do a Jerry Lewis spit take, or was it calmer than that?
You know, when I did tell him, his only words to me, and I will love him forever for this, I waited holding my breath, my knees were knocking, and he only said to me, well, is your real name Valerie? And once I assured him that it was, he's like, okay, you know, everything else fell in place.
All right.
So I am forever grateful.
Well, Val, obviously love the book, and I love the movie, Fair Game. And, you know, when I saw you over the holidays, you gave me a copy of Countdown to Zero, which...
Yes.
Is an amazing documentary that you're in. And, you know, obviously, like, with all, everything that's happening now, I mean, this is, you know, such an incredibly important subject. But tell us a little bit, first of all, about Countdown to Zero.
It came out last summer. It is by the same people who produced and put together An Inconvenient Truth, which, you know, did for global warming, and Al Gore, what no one else has been able to do, which is make people sit up and pay attention. And that was what their thinking was behind this critical threat of nuclear proliferation and the what happens if we continue down the path that we are going of everyone wanting to join the nuclear club. So what the director, Lucy Walker, pulled together over the course of 2 years, some amazing people, you saw who's in it, everyone from Jimmy Baker to Gorbachev to Tony Blair to Musharraf, and it's a some experts, it goes through what happens, the three ways you can get a nuclear bomb: buy it, build it, steal it. And my section, I help narrate it and appear in it, is speaking about what would happen if and how could terrorists get a hold of a nuclear weapon. And the idea behind the entire documentary, which was really well received, critically acclaimed, was to get people to sit up, take notice, and begin to really think through again the whole issue of proliferation. We are well beyond what happened in the Cold War, a bipolar world. We have this emergent threat of proliferation and terrorists that we know are actively seeking a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
And how to go about changing that, getting us off that path. So I've been very, as part of one of the producers of the film, I've been very involved with a nonpartisan group called Global Zero, and they have a very serious plan, step-by-step orchestrated approach that every nation, it's multilateral, will ultimately get down to zero, because
right. All
of us that are involved with this, Queen Noor is working very hard on this as well, believe that this is the only way, rational way forward.
Well, I've got to get your take on what's happening currently, because I've mentioned this, that I was so struck by something Deepak Chopra said, and he said, I mean, first of all, the horrible irony that this is happening in Japan, that, you know, they're essentially nuking themselves. I mean, with this huge disaster, he said, can you imagine if we had to watch in real time Nagasaki and Hiroshima, like we are, because we're so wired today. Can you imagine what people would feel about nuclear, proliferation?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think perhaps if that had God forbid, something like that, it would fundamentally alter us as a civilization. Countdown to Zero makes a point that if a nuclear device were to be exploded in any democracy in the world, you can forget about any rights. They would go out the window. Not because the government is evil, but because the people would be clamoring, to make sure that they are kept safe.
Mm-hmm.
And any sort of the Bill of Rights, what we consider democratic processes, would be sidelined who knows, indefinitely.
That's what happened in Germany.
Valerie, what is your take on what's happening currently? And more importantly, should I come stay with you and Joe in Santa Fe? What who do you believe, between the Japanese government, our government, the fallout, all of that?
Mm-hmm. I have to hasten to add at the very top, I am not a nuclear power expert. I understand a lot about operations and how nuclear weapons work. Mm-hmm. Having said that, though, I think clearly the Japanese are feeling increasingly skeptical about what their government, how transparent and how straightforward their government has been with them. The Japanese government has to walk that line between not creating full-scale panic, which, although I have to say that the way, how stoic the Japanese are makes the British look like pikers, you know? They're queuing in lines for hours for a little bowl of rice, and there's no looting, and everyone seems to understand that society is a very calm society overall. I think it, obviously there's a dispute between what the American government has advised its own citizens within a 50-mile range of the distress reactors and what the Japanese have said. Within 50 miles, Americans said, okay, you to be prudent, you really should evacuate. I think there's obviously a dearth of information. The Tokyo Power and what is it, Electric Power Company that owns this reactor, I saw somewhere that 200 times in the past they have been found to be less than forthcoming, than straight, and in incidents and
right.
Near accidents. I mean,
there was a WikiLeak about that.
It's like, what kind of information are we getting? They must be considering finally covering the reactors in cement, as what finally happened in Chernobyl. I just saw somewhere that they're thinking about importing 150 tons of boron, which is a chemical that you can kind of, but they need to finally encase the whole thing in cement. If it's true that these, I saw the pictures last night, and these helicopter ships are trying to, you know, scoop up big, you know, thousands of gallons of water in these buckets and fly them over and dump them, but they're losing, you know, a lot of water in the process. Who knows what's getting in? And not to mention that the actual bed, which is sort of like a swimming pool size container of these spent fuel rods, it might have been cracked in the earthquake. So if you dump water in it, it's just like, you know, running out of a cracked bathtub.
How do you, Valerie, think this is going to affect the debate here or not? I don't know if you saw that Netanyahu said that Japan has caused him to reconsider nuclear power. I think it's obviously those of us in California were going, okay, well, we've got nuclear plants on fault lines, you know.
Our Nuclear Regulatory Commission has a dual hat. You know, they do both regulatory as well as promotion of the industry, which is really not a good idea in the same body. So you have, like, Diablo Canyon, which is on a big cliff, and you have, you know, others sitting right on the fault line. The voices that we hear calling for, not to overreact, but let's pause. Let's pause and review. What do we have? Apparently in Japan, these were built to, withstand earthquake seismic tremors up to 8.0. But who would have ever have conceived that a tsunami would have followed an earthquake? Oh, you mean, you know, the ones that are right next to the ocean? You know, and it just, the unthinkable can happen, and that's exactly what Countdown to Zero points out as well. Through accident, miscalculation, you know, you don't have to have some evil human spirit trying to get a nuclear weapon and deploy it in a city somewhere around the world. It can just be through accident.
Yep.
And we have to be prepared for that.
Val, I wish we could talk to you all morning. And next time we'll ask you what you think about the right wing wanting to bomb any country Julian Assange is in, because leaks are really bad now.
It only depends what leak. Yeah.
Right. Valerie Plame Wilson is the woman. Countdown to Zero is the film. You've got to see it. Where can you get that, Val?
It is available now on DVD.
Sweet.
The two places, you know, look on Netflix, get it on DVD, but also I would ask your listeners, if they're interested, to go to globalzero.org, and you can find out more information about it there as well.
Terrific. Give Joe a kiss for me. Thank him again for the paella.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Stephanie.
Valerie. All right, there she goes, Valerie Plame Wilson. Oh, how do you not feel horrible about yourself as a woman or anything else?
And I just put a link to globalzero.org up on your Facebook page. So
by the way, she is not just beautiful and brilliant. She could not be nicer. Could not be nicer.
No,
all right.
Really
everybody I ran into in Santa Fe said the same thing. Could not be nicer. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, actress-comedian Jerry Jewell joins us next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited.
Call now, 1-800-STEF-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. What a show! Jerry Jewell, who I've been a fan of forever, joins us. You may know this. Actress, comedian, she was born with cerebral palsy, famous for being the first person with a disability to have a regular role on primetime series Facts of Life.
Cousin Jerry.
Which I loved. Yes. She has a brand new book out. Good morning, Jerry.
Hi, Stephanie, and I've been a fan of yours for years also. Thank you.
Thank you. A friend of mine told me that, and I love you for that. Now, tell me, the book is I'm Walking as Straight as I Can, Transcending Disability in Hollywood and Beyond, which refers to your disability, but also you coming out as a lesbian this year, correct?
Yes, correct. It's a double whammy.
You are. And, by the way, we have something else in common. I didn't know you were from Buffalo, New York.
Oh, yeah. I heard that just last night. Another Buffalonian. Wow. We get around, don't we?
Yeah, listen, you got to be funny if you're from Buffalo, because it's just it's survived the winter.
I know. But I got out quickly. I got out at 18 months.
Wow. Wow. Now, tell us about the book and, you know, what that was like to, I mean, that's a lot of, you know, stuff to talk about and to be funny about.
It is a lot. It was a huge undertaking by me, and it was something that I wanted to do for a long time, and I finally did it. It took me a year and a half to write it, to complete it, and I'm at peace with it. And hopefully my intent is to create understanding and acceptance of all people, to let people know that it's okay to never give up, to keep on trying when things are difficult. Hopefully it'll inspire people to live life to its fullest and to go after your dreams no matter what.
Well, I mean, that's what I, you know, you must get sick of people going, oh, you're such an inspiration. It's so moving. And you think, you just are being who you are. You know, I've known you for a long time. You've just always been funny. That's how you know, and it's a coping mechanism that a lot of people have, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I developed that mechanism as a kid. I was always making people laugh. And I think at that time, it was the only way I felt that I could be accepted.
Right.
You know, because when you're born with a disability like CP, I think unconsciously you're always trying to make people feel comfortable around you.
Listen, I look like an Armenian man, so that was why I needed to be funny when I was a child. But you, by the way, I love the fine folks at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center. Tell us about that real quick, because our other friend Jason Stewart is also performing. Tell us about that. It's Sunday, March 20th, correct?
Yes. It's Laugh Out Loud and Fine, and it supports LifeWorks at the Gay and Lesbian Center in L.A., which is a mentoring program for the youth, for gay youth, and it is a wonderful, wonderful program, and I'm honored to be a part of the lineup at both shows at 5 and 8 p.m., and there's a VIP reception for VIP ticket holders. And there's going to be a lot of celebrity guests that night. Alexandra Paul, Charlene Tilton, David Shokali, I hope I pronounced his name right, Jason Simmons, Judy Greer, and Peter Page. So
wow.
It'll be a fun night.
Terrific. Well, I just went to an event that our good friend, my friend and yours, Lily Tomlin, hosted not too long ago, because they really are doing a tremendous life-saving work over there at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center. So God bless you for doing a comedy benefit.
Oh,
I have a question for Jerry.
It is my pleasure, and it is the first time as an out comedian, so I'm a little scared, but
But I'm okay.
I'm going to go on the limb and say that I think you will be well received at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center. the book is called I'm Walking as Straight as I Can. And also, we have everything up on our website to get tickets to go see Jerry at the...
And at your Facebook page.
And at my Facebook page. Jerry, what a pleasure. Can't wait to see you in person soon.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. And thank you for having me on today.
Jerry, we miss you on Deadwood, too.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you. Oh. I love Deadwood.
I loved you on
Deadwood.
That show.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. There she goes. Jerry Jewell, actress, comedian extraordinaire. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Drunk actor brainstorm. I'm going to make Pete host an intervention for me. It'll be all about
Stephanie Miller.
Drama, crying, the beauty of redemption, perhaps a song.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. You know, so few heroes in the world, and one of them, of course, Senator Bernie Sanders, who has a new book out. You remember the speech. It is literally a book about his speech. The speech, a historic filibuster on corporate greed and the decline of our middle class. Senator Bernie Sanders joins us now. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie?
I am great, and I'm so happy to talk to you this morning. I want to get to your book, but I there were two headlines in a row this morning that I thought summed up everything that's wrong. House votes to cut funding to NPR, and House rejects call to leave Afghanistan in 2011. I mean, some days it seems to me like you're the only one talking sense about what's causing our deficit and how to fix it.
You forgot the headlines on Japan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about in terms of your book.
Kind of.
I mean, the Republicans' priorities are just, it is so frustrating to those of us that watch people like you talking good sense and just going, look, if we would, you know, make the rich pay their fair share and get out of these wars, you don't have to cut, you know.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely, the reason we are in the horrendous deficit situation we are in today has a hell of a lot to do with the two wars that were unfunded. It has everything to do with huge tax breaks for the wealthiest people in this country. It has everything to do with the Wall Street bailout and with other programs that were not paid for. And now, having done that, having driven up the deficit and the national debt, our Republican friends suddenly say, oh, my goodness, are we going to have to deal with that issue? And the way to do it is to cut back by throwing 200,000 kids off of Head Start.
Yeah, well, and it, by the way, one of the things I love, all the proceeds of this book go to charitable nonprofit organizations in the state of Vermont, mostly relating to the needs of children.
Right.
I mean, you know, you think if only the larger Congress could have those sort of priorities, but it must be incredibly frustrating with the current makeup of this Congress for you.
Well, I would not be telling you the truth if I didn't say that it wasn't very frustrating. I think there were priorities being established by our Republican friends, which is more and more tax breaks for the richest people in this country who are already doing phenomenally well. More and more tax breaks, or supporting the tax breaks for oil companies and other large corporations. You know, you have the five major oil companies made almost $1 trillion in profit over the last 10 years, and you got some of these companies are paying virtually nothing in taxes.
Well, Senator Sanders, your book, obviously, you know, is talking about the bankrupting the American middle class. You've got to be struck by, obviously, what's happening in Wisconsin. And Michael Moore echoed a lot of what you're saying, is we're not broke. We're not in crisis. The money is all in the wrong hands. I mean,
and that's the point to be made. And again, there are relatively few people and few media outlets that are talking about the fact that we have the most unequal distribution of wealth and income of any major country on earth. So, Stephanie, what we're talking about is the top 1% today are earning about 23 cents out of every dollar being made in America.
Right. The top 1% also owns more wealth than the bottom 90%,
right,
as your book points out.
Right.
You talk about the federal tax code that, you know, Warren Buffett obviously says he pays, you know, his secretary pays, you know, a higher tax rate than he does.
An effective tax rate than he does. That's right. And those are the realities that have got to be thrown on the table before you slash Pell Grants and Head Start and programs, nutrition programs for low-income pregnant women.
You know, there was another story I have to ask you about, because you're one of the only people I've ever heard that talks so clearly and succinctly about Social Security. Because, you know, this is the other I mean, unfortunately, this is a new Washington Post ABC News poll. More than 8 in 10 Americans, 80%, now see the country's Social Security system as headed for crisis and think a major overhaul is in order, which, of course, has been the right wing talking point in their rush to try to privatize it. Talk to us a little about that.
Well, the reason that people think it's in crisis is that every single day they are told that it's in crisis. So you tell people every day Social Security is going broke, Social Security is bankrupt, and that's what people think. So let's go through some of the facts. For a start, when you talk about Social Security and deficit reduction, Stephanie, has Social Security contributed one nickel to our national debt? The answer is it has not. Social Security is funded by the payroll tax at 6.2% out of every worker's pocket. Today, there is a $2.6 trillion surplus in Social Security. It can pay out every benefit for the next 26 years to every eligible American. Does that sound like it's in crisis to you?
Well, this is exactly what I was saying, that you and Michael Moore and others have echoed, that, you know, Wisconsin's not broke. The United States is not broke. Again, you know, look at Governor Walker, gave away tax breaks to the very rich and now claims he has a crisis he has to solve. And one of the things your book says, the only people who can save the middle class of the country is the middle class. And look at what's happening, right, in Wisconsin and Michigan.
Well, it is very gratifying to see working people beginning to stand up and to fight back. And what people there understand is that the attack against the right of collective bargaining for public sector unions had nothing to do about the deficit problem facing Wisconsin. This was a political effort in order to destroy the ability of unions to stand up and fight for workers' rights.
Right.
And the same thing, is exactly the same principle, is taking place on the attack on Social Security. Social Security hasn't contributed a nickel to the deficit. It has a $2.6 trillion surplus, but it is an opportunity for the right wing to destroy what has been an extraordinarily successful program that for the last 75 years has paid out every nickel owed to every eligible American. It has worked. It has done its job at a very cost-effective minimum administrative cost. And with modest changes, it will be there for another 75 years. But our Republican friends are using, in the name of deficit reduction, are attacking Social Security and are either trying to dismember it or to privatize it.
Yeah. Senator Sanders, I can't let you go without getting your take on, obviously, the crisis in Japan and how that's going to impact the nuclear debate here in the United States.
Well, the way I think it should impact the nuclear debate here in the United States is that people should take a deep breath and say, wait a second, we've got 23 reactors which are the same design as the one that is now melting down in Japan. We better take a hard look at that. Everybody says that something, you know, Stephanie, everything is unthinkable until the day after it happens, right?
Yep.
9/11 was absolutely unthinkable. The destruction of Haiti was unthinkable. An earthquake of this scope in Japan was absolutely unthinkable. What happened in New Zealand? Who would have thought about it? I don't want to be in that position in the United States. When you think about nuclear power, think about the following things. Number one, new nuclear power is the most expensive form of electrical generation. Okay, if you want to be cost-effective in producing more electricity, nuclear power is the least, is the most expensive route to go. Number two, how do you get rid of the radioactive waste that we now have?
Yep.
Do you have any good ideas on that one?
No. Not in my neighborhood.
Space.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The idea of building more plants without knowing how you get rid of the waste that currently exists makes no sense at all. And third of all, for those people who tell us how safe nuclear power is, turn on the TV and see what's going on in Japan.
Senator Sanders, quickly, so much I'd love to talk to you about, are we going to have a government shutdown? I mean, obviously the stopgap bill has passed. It has set up this showdown we knew was coming.
Well, Stephanie, I don't know that anybody knows the answer to that. But the question is I think the more appropriate question is, are we going to solve the deficit situation in a way that is fair to working families? Or after giving huge tax breaks to the rich, are we going to now cut back on college education loans and grants? Are we going to cut back on Head Start, cut back on the Social Security Administration, cut back on nutrition programs for pregnant, low-income pregnant women, etc.? That's the question. And I hope that the president stands tall and and negotiates a fair deficit reduction package.
All right. Senator Bernie Sanders, the book is The Speech, A Historic Filibuster on Corporate Greed and the Decline of Our Middle Class. Senator, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Good to be with you. Take care.
All right. Ha-ha. Take that, Tom Hartman. All right.
Yeah, you have to rush off the phone to get to Tom Hartman. Right.
Coming up next. Yeah.
Charlie Rangel.
Congressman Charlie Rangel joins us next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Ooh, 47 minutes after the hour. Kim in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a couple of things. I'm going to do them quickly.
Just do the Charlie Rangel thing.
Okay, I'm going to do the Charlie Rangel thing first. Charlie Rangel is implementing legislation again to impose a draft. It's not going to pass. Nobody's going to pass it. I don't know why he's bringing this up again.
We'll ask him. Hang on. We'll ask him right now because I think it's very, very smart. Congressman Charlie Rangel joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Yeah, tell us about the Universal National Service Act. I mean, I think if I'm not wrong, you're trying to say to people who support war, then, okay, if you really support war, let's make sure everybody serves fairly, right?
You got it.
Yes.
You know, tomorrow is the 8th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, and that decision was made. Obviously, it was the wrong decision to make. Clearly, if there was no oil in Iraq, we wouldn't have put our men and women in harm's way. But, you know, we've been there for 8 years, and the only ones making the sacrifice are our young people. And I am thoroughly convinced that the Congress would not have allowed this to start or go on if they thought that their kids and their grandkids and that of their constituents would be placed in harm's way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You write in your letter, we make decisions about war without worry over who fights them. And so it's a lot easier to make those decisions, I guess.
And people just say that, well, you know, they're volunteers. Well, if you take a look at the communities that they come from, they're communities with the highest unemployment, with a large number of people that have no economic opportunities. And so, therefore, these decisions aren't made in order to keep America from being invaded. It is true that once they get there and that flag goes up, they all are dedicated, and we should do all that we can, one, to make certain they have all of the support they need, but two, to bring them back home.
Well, and, you know, I think Libya is the latest example, Congressman, of, you know, I think as our defense secretary or somebody had said, you know, people throw around these phrases like no-fly zone and, yeah, we got to go in. And it's just, as you say, you write to your colleagues, the test for Congress, particularly for those members who support the war, is to require all who enjoy the benefits of our democracy to contribute to the defense of our country. Right. And to stop taking this lightly, like, oh, yeah, let's just go in. Let's start a third war. You know, when.
And believe me. Billions of dollars are made at the expense of our warriors overseas with Blackwaters and other people. I mean, money is being made out of the war, and I don't think anyone challenges that. But when you just say, sure, we'll be out in a year, we'll be out in 6 months, what you should be saying is how many people are going to die in waiting for us to do it. Yesterday on the floor of the House of Representatives, one of my colleagues got up there with a picture of one of the young men that died in Afghanistan and said that we cannot pull out, we cannot lose face, and we owe it to this guy, this dead warrior from his community, from his district, not to pull out. I could not think of anything that's more ironic than saying that more have to die because one has died.
Yeah, well, exactly. That always offends me too, Congressman. Like, you know, these men and women don't have honor. They don't have honor unless we send more men and women in to die. And you know, you're exactly right. I mean, part of, you know, your bill is to cut down on, is to help our troops to cut down on these multiple deployments and you know, the way our troops have had to be used because of the strain, right?
I ask the simple question that if you really think your country is in danger and our way of life is going to be invaded by an enemy, then isn't there some type of an obligation for all of us to make a sacrifice? And if you think not, then it's not worth going to war.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Well, I don't know if you heard our caller. Of course, he said, well, of course, this isn't going to pass. But, you know, a lot of things you do it because it's the right thing to do. It's a way to bring attention to a very important subject. And what is more important, you know, than life and death, war and peace, right? I mean, it obviously is a way to say, you know, we need to really see. I mean, look at what's just happened with Libya. I mean, I think that obviously the UN resolution, at least for now, appears to be working. And we already had our right-wing friends almost immediately say we should be going in.
It's easy to go in with someone else's children, you know, and keep the flag up and see how patriotic you are. You know, during the last administration, before Obama, they wouldn't even let people pay homage to the bodies that were coming back from Iraq. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And politically, they just thought that they did not want America to really see the pain. And you don't hear from priests and ministers and rabbis. I mean, the most precious gift that God has given to us is life and the sanctity of life. And I have no problem with talking of being against abortion, but someone ought to care about those people that were not aborted at all living and expose themselves for political reasons, and whether the bill passes or not, we still have to be hurried in protecting other people from having gone into a war that clearly America doesn't believe in.
Well, somebody does care, and his name is Representative Charlie Rangel. It is the Universal National Service Act. Congressman, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Support H.R. 1152, Universal National Service Act.
Absolutely.
We will. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Seth.
All right, there we go.
What, did you fire that mimic?
Yeah, I told the mimic to put a sock in it.
Guy's making me look bad.
The chat room is wondering if that actually happened when we were on MSNBC. Did he call you that mimic when we were on MSNBC?
No, I don't think so.
It was around that time, though, I think.
That mimic's going to get me in trouble.
That's exactly what
he
said.
Start making prank calls. This is Charlie Rangel. We're going to come over there and burn your house down.
Oh, no.
That's a brilliant impression of Jim Jeffrey.
See? Now the mimic is getting him in trouble after he's already gone.
All right. I don't do a Charlie Rangel impression. I do a Jim impression of Charlie Rangel impression.
Everyone does the Jim impression.
There's a bit of Harvey Firestein in there, I think.
Exactly right. That's a Shonda. That's all we get for Hanukkah.
Yeah, I was saying. But I was saying, I was mentioning to Senator Sanders, that's the thing. I mean, these decisions are important, and those two headlines, even if you're just talking about the deficit, mm-hmm. like all the Republicans are talking about, House passes bill to defund NPR, House refuses to get out of Afghanistan. It's, oh, yes, that's going to, I mean, it's just, it's so, yeah, by the way, the House has passed the bill. It is unlikely to pass the Senate, obviously, or escape the president's veto pen. Yep. The good news is Representative Anthony Weiner got to do a little skit.
Yeah.
With Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers.
Which was hilarious. Holding up a photo of Click and Clack from NPR's Car right. Talk, he said sarcastically, I'm so relieved we had this emergency session that we waived the rules of the House that require 72 hours notice so we could finally get these guys off my radio.
Don't drive like our Congress.
Yeah, well, they're on all the important issues of the day, aren't they?
I think it's Tom that snorts when he laughs, just like Stephanie. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Yvette in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello. Hey, Yvette.
Hi. I called it first because you were talking about the nuclear stuff.
Yes.
But I can jump in on everything else. No, I'm kidding.
No, go ahead.
But I'm one of those, it's like, I don't panic, to quote one of my favorite authors, Douglas Adams. Yeah. Funny guy. Actually, I have the honor of living in the evacuation zone of not one, but two nuclear plants in
Great.
Illinois.
Awesome.
Bring your
awesome.
Towel.
I moved from right next to Indian Point to right next to San Onofre's.
So, get your duct tape. You know, it's like my biggest concern there is that they give me enough notice to get, you know, at least photos and clothes and get out of there.
Yeah.
you know, don't wait for the last minute.
Yeah. Except,
by the way, we're having a problem.
Except, by the way, guess what the House is cutting funds for? Any kind of early warning systems of any kind. Because that, we don't do that. Hang on a second, I have it here.
We need less regulation for the new plants.
Exactly.
Get government off their backs.
Representative Peter DeFazio said this: people will die from GOP cuts. That's usually their plan, is just hurry up and die, no matter what it is.
But can you imagine evacuating?
For God's sake, just die.
Peter DeFazio said people will die from Republican cuts to tsunami tracking and other disaster response agencies. DeFazio said furloughs at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
NOAA.
And other cuts to our defense against natural disaster were crazy stuff that could weaken the federal government's already outdated disaster response system. Yeah, that's crazy. Yep. Disaster response, why would that be?
Can you imagine evacuating L.A.? Everyone going east on the 10?
Try driving in rush hour here, a normal rush hour.
We're kind of hemmed in by mountains here, and those those mountain passes are bottlenecks where everybody's going to get caught.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it would be the scene in Airplane. Does anyone here know how to fly a plane?
We're right between San Onofre and Diablo Canyon.
Yeah.
Which way do you run?
We're screwed.
Yeah.
Either way.
Exactly. All right. So we have... I'm sorry. I wanted to get to the Tokyo Electric Power Company.
This is a very severe situation. We need to keep cooling the fuel so that it doesn't reach criticality.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we will keep you apprised of all the latest in the tragedy in Japan. Also, comedian Michael McDonald, producer Daniel Slatic, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau of the Stephanie Miller Incorporated. StephanieMiller.com, the website, ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Looky here, you can see us.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Y'all look great.
Yeah, thank you.
You are looking really good today, Stephanie.
Oh, look at you. You know
it's
what?
The radiation.
Why don't you take a week off next week just because of that?
You have a glow about you from the radiation.
Thank you. I do. I have that plume, that radioactive plume about me.
Plume by Calvin Klein.
It's magic. You can email us all, you know, at thestephaniemiller.com. Executive producer, Crystal Boyd, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Dave in Minnesota did. Steph, interesting comments you made yesterday about drinking and the nuclear radiation that may be coming to the U.S. Well, I was going to drink anyway. Jim, I just said to drink more because...
Of course.
In Neville Shute's famous book, On the Beach, I think there was mention that the ones who seem to be the biggest drinkers seem to tolerate the radiation exposure the best, although they would eventually also die. It was assumed they'd be the last to do so. Well, thank you, Dave. See?
Since Twinkies will last even longer.
And John Fugelsang will be moving out here and opening a what, John?
I'm going to open a potassium iodide smoothie stand.
Nice. Yes, good for you.
Beverly Hills? Yeah, so watch for that.
Good for you. All right. You are a sea thinkers, innovators here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bring your own glow sticks.
Smart capitalist.
All right. Oh, gosh. One of my personal favorites forever. One of the funniest men in the world. The owner of the biggest, bluest eyes I've ever seen. Michael McDonald, comedian extraordinaire, joins us now. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, beautiful.
Aww. And by the way, I think I've told you this, but this is the biggest compliment to a comedian. My friend and I still do Stuart from Mad TV every time we see each other because we just think it's, you know, that.
It seems to follow me around wherever I go. I don't know. I'm worried I'm going to end up like that alcoholic clown Clarabelle or something.
See, this is what happens when you create a wildly successful character, is you have to endure that for the rest of your... And everyone thinks it's the first time they've done it. You've had someone do that to you, right?
I've had policemen do it. I've had gangbangers do it to me. Like, I'd be in a sketchy part of town. I'd be the biggest, scariest dude in the world. And they'd go, man, look what I can do. And then he does like a little Stuart or whatever. That, by the way, is my French accent.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Here's something we didn't, because obviously we love you as a comedian. You're going to be at the Brea Improv. Loved Mad TV. I didn't realize you're the main director, producer, and writer on Cougar Town, and you're going to be co-starring on several of the episodes this year.
Well, you must have been talking to my agent.
Yes, yes.
I'm the main director. I'm not the main writer or producer. They have there's a showrunner guy and many other writers and producers, but I do write and produce on the show, and I direct pretty much every other episode, which is a great gig.
You're so humble. You'll be appearing in front of the camera on Cougar Town. You will be playing the pretentious owner of a wine bar that Courtney Cox and her friends start frequenting.
Yeah, and I get to be really mean to Courtney, which is sort of fraught with danger because she's also my boss.
Yeah.
You're like, you're acting a little too well.
Yeah, and being like in person and in her character is very, very nice. And like my character just is mean to her all the time just because she doesn't get wine. So,
by the way, can I just say I love her? She's obviously, you know, gone through a painful, you know, separation with David.
Arquette.
Yes, Arquette, pardon me. But I was just, she made me feel better about my loser life because she said something like, well, I don't know how to do that, or I don't really go out, or how do you, and I'm thinking, she's like probably the most beautiful woman in the world, and she's like, I don't, what, dating?
I think it must be hard for, like, you know, you and I, we've been lucky enough to, I don't know, have our little dog and pony show here and there, right?
Yes.
It's nice and all that stuff, but there's a level that, with Courtney, that it's so hard to comprehend even when you're around it. Like, she'll be like, you want to come over for lunch? I'm having some friends over. Like, sure. And there's like Sting and Trudy Styler and President Obama, you know, like,
yes.
crazy
yes.
Coupling, you know, that she's with. So like everywhere she goes, it's I think it's much more of a circus than anybody can imagine. So it's very hard for her, but she's a cool chick.
Yeah, she seems like salt of the earth. Now, Mr. Comedy, you're going to be at the Brea Improv March 25th through the 27th. You also have a new comedy DVD out called Model Citizen, available on Amazon.com.
Yeah, it was my first stand-up special that I think it's still airing on Showtime, too. I'm not quite sure, but it's definitely, yeah, available on the good old Amazon, my favorite website.
What makes
other
you...
Other than yours.
Thank you.
By the way, wait, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Are you annoyed at how many, like when you were doing the intro to the show, like find me on Twitter and at Facebook, and if you also want to drop me a mailbox, like there's... You have to splinter so many different ways when it used to just be call this number and we'll talk.
Exactly.
To you.
Exactly.
It's getting ridiculous.
And I don't even understand any of it. I just say it because
she
my producer
do it.
Tells me to.
Yeah, she doesn't do any of it. She has us do it.
Yes.
I'm on Facebook right now, and I think, Chris, you and I are Facebook
friends. Yes, we are.
I just, I don't know what the word would be, posted, I guess, on Facebook. Yeah. I'm on your show right now.
This reminded me of me. A guy was pulled over for DUI, and he told police he thought it was 1989. And so do I, technologically. That could have been me. I haven't really progressed much in my musical taste, my technology, nothing.
I know. When my parents are able to text me a picture of where they are and I don't know how to download it, that's really sad.
That's when really the worm has turned. Now, what makes you a model citizen, Michael McDonald?
Actually, the title is model... period, citizen, period. So I'm not really a model citizen. I'm a model and a citizen.
Makes more
model
sense.
Model / citizen.
Exactly. But,
yes.
You know, if I were a model citizen, I would say that to take the words out of the wise mouth of Tyra Banks, when in doubt, do broken doll. And that's just
yes.
show your inner pain, but
yes.
Make it beautiful.
That is you. So what kind of stuff are you talking about in your stand-up these days?
Well, this is a weird thing, and Brea will be my first time performing stand-up live since the special, and it's kind of like, I don't know, like once you do something on television or a DVD available on Amazon.com, you kind of have to start over. You know, you have to have new stuff, so that's a very good question. I've basically been panicking for the last 3 weeks, and whenever I am, maybe I've had a glass of wine or a medically prescribed by my doctor joint of
yes,
cannabis,
of course.
I will write stuff down, and some of it is going to be very funny, and some of it will make no sense at all. But I'm guessing the Kardashians and Japan might
make
it in. I don't know, although who knows how to make Japan funny.
Will spooning help with the radioactive plume? What do you think? Are you available?
Although I'd love that you found out about drinking. I'm going to have a nice preventative right now.
Yes. Yes. My friend says just put kelp in it. And, I don't know.
Yes.
Somehow that'll help. Mm-hmm. Yes.
kelp. Let's go have some sushi and sake and knock
yeah.
it out.
Yeah, go. Mostly sake. That's
vodka
what
helps more than kelp.
I'm going to go have some, yes, go have some kelp and some cocktails and some comedy at the Bray Improv, March 25th through the 27th. Michael McDonald, hilarious man. And we always love spending time with you, honey.
Thank you so much. It'll be better than Charlie Sheen's show, I promise.
Terrific. Thanks so much.
We should upload that to the intertweets. I loved his work, the Doobie Brothers, by the way.
Wrong, Michael
what?
McDonald.
Oh, that's... No. All right. Let's go to Susie in Albuquerque. Hi, Suze. Hey, Suze.
Hi there.
Hello, go ahead.
Hey, just calling up to support Charlie Rangel's big idea. I have a son in the Army, and I would love to see the more equitable distribution among the classes being represented in the armed forces. Starting from the top, I do think that they all ought to have to, that top 3%, 2%, 5% ought to have to offer their firstborn at least into the armed forces.
Well, Susie, yeah, it raises a good question. Would all these Republicans in particular be so eager to, you know, to send us into wars if they knew all of their sons and daughters were going too? You know, they got to stop saying we when, you know, there's no we involved, right?
I do think it's interesting that I'm a Democrat and that I'm pro-draft and that Republicans are not.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. Yes, interesting. Funny that, isn't mm-hmm. it? Mm-hmm. Curious that.
That should be the name of Charlie Rangel's new radio show. What's the big idea with Charlie Rangel?
All right. I was mentioning this earlier to our friend Valerie Plame Wilson. Mm-hmm. God, it's been an entire show of name dropping, for God's sakes.
Yes.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel said the expanding threat of nuclear catastrophe in Japan has changed his thinking on the safety of nuclear power.
Wow.
It certainly caused me to reconsider the projects of building civil nuclear power plants. I'm still going to keep all the ones I have aimed at Iran. Oh,
yeah.
Did I say we have nukes? I don't...
Who's going to build the new ones on the West Bank?
What do the neocons who support Israel and everything they do, no matter how bad it is, think about that?
Yeah. He said, I have to tell you, I was a lot more enthusiastic about it than I am now. He said, what's happening in Japan is a confluence of a natural disaster and a man-made disaster. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
As the cloud of radioactivity, the uncertainty of what will happen with it, and the cloud that hangs over the people of Japan and the people of the world, he was asked, are you saying you might actually stop any kind of nuclear program? He said, I don't think we're going to pursue civil nuclear energy in the coming years.
Well, they're in the desert. Solar is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Jim mentioned that the other day. If you had to speculate, we're no Glenn Beck here. But if you had to speculate why God's mad, it's because he like, what? I gave you the sun.
I gave you the sun.
Wind.
It's right there.
Tides. It's free.
Look, but don't look right at it, you idiot. What?
Yeah, well, Glenn Beck says God's angry. And
look at the tides. Have you noticed? They keep going in and out, in and out.
I distinctly remember giving each of you a brain. Why are you using them?
I love Jim's impersonation of God.
That's God.
Yeah.
Wind! It blows all the time!
I made these atoms. They're perfect. Look at the neutron, all the electrons. Why do you want to break it?
Jim plays God as the angry guy next door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, me, damn it!
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You just blew my mind.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The ecclesiastical MOOC, John Fugelsang, in the New York Bureau.
Yes, my child.
Stephanie Miller Incorporated. Thank you. All right. By the by, Susan Rice, whom we know, on this show, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., talking about Libya yesterday.
This resolution demands an immediate ceasefire and a complete end to violence and attacks against civilians. Responding to the Libyan people and to the League of Arab States, the Security Council has authorized the use of force, including enforcement of a no-fly zone, to protect civilians and civilian areas targeted by Colonel Gaddafi, his intelligence and security forces, and his mercenaries.
So some conflicting reports this morning, right, Chris? They had said there was a, you know, Libya had said there's a ceasefire, and now there's been...
And now people in towns under attack are saying, ah, oh, this
really.
Is not a ceasefire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought it was ironic. The Libyan rebels were jubilant, and they erupted in fireworks and gunfire. So maybe it's, I don't know if it's gunfire of jubilation or gunfire from Gaddafi, but it's...
Gunfire nonetheless.
Yes, Susan Rice.
The U.S. view is that we need to be prepared to contemplate steps that include but perhaps go beyond a no-fly zone.
Oh, boy. All right. So,
wow.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on around the world,
yeah.
I got to say.
It's all taking valuable airtime away from Charlie Sheen.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
Yet, you know, President Obama...
Ignored. Duh.
Yeah. President Obama is, you know, busy taking care of all this stuff, and Fox News is wondering why he hasn't been in front of the cameras.
And no matter what he does, the Marco Rubios of the world will say this.
From all the accounts that are out there, the United States, quite frankly, looks weak. In this endeavor, the President of the United States has specifically said Gaddafi must go, but has done nothing since saying that except have internal debates about it.
He hasn't bombed anyone yet. I haven't seen anything explode. Come on, blow some stuff up.
Yeah, and meanwhile, we get a UN resolution, and, you know, I obviously, you know, we'll see what happens with it. But it's just, I mean, this is exactly why Charlie Rangel's thing is a good idea. It's just easy for them to throw around stuff like, oh, we should be doing this or this, or, oh, we look weak unless, like Jim says, we don't start bombing immediately.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Just
put your
somebody.
Kids at risk.
I don't care who.
Yes.
To that end, everybody who wants to build more nuclear plants with less government regulation, I will buy them free plane tickets to Japan if they'll suit up and show us all how safe it is.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. A 3-week stopgap spending bill cleared Congress yesterday, setting up what's expected to be a decisive showdown next month between President Obama and House Republicans over budget cuts for the second half of this fiscal year. So it averted immediate threat of a shutdown, I guess, today. The level of paranoia is, though, such that Republican aides won't even admit meeting with the president's men when seen together in the Capitol. That's where we are on how ready they are to compromise. Chuck Schumer. Yes.
In order to avoid a dead end on these budget talks, Speaker Boehner should abandon the Tea Party and work to forge a bipartisan consensus. It's the only way out of this bind.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to, I think.
Mm-hmm. And the elfin Jeff Sessions, Republican of Alabama.
There's no free lunch.
But there
debts
are free
have
cookies
to be
back in my
paid. Interest has to be paid on debts. This is reality. We don't live in a fantasy world.
I'm under a tree and make cookies.
There's no free lunch, but there's what?
Free cookies from my tree.
Fudge stripe? Please let there be fudge stripe.
Yay!
Oh, boy.
Pecan sandies?
All right, yeah, that'll balance the deficit. They cut NPR funding yesterday, which,
great,
of course,
thank
will not
God.
Pass the Senate.
Don't
yeah.
spend like my brother.
I love this. So, of course, it's conservatives have long tarted NPR, saying it has a liberal bias. I love this. Representative James McGovern, Democrat of Maryland, had a novel amendment. Congress should also prevent any tax dollars via advertisements from going to the wildly biased Fox News channel.
Yeah.
All right. Then. Yeah, that amendment was shot down.
Yes, sadly.
Shocking.
Republicans weren't for that.
No.
I don't know why.
Hmm.
But
I'm so glad they're fixing the jobs program by having meaningless votes on cutting funding for Planned Parenthood and NPR, which will never pass.
I know. McGovern said over the past several years, it's become clear Fox News Channel is wildly biased. They continue to employ talk show hosts to call President Obama a racist. They continue to employ several prospective Republican presidential candidates as analysts, giving them hours and hours of free airtime, and their parent company has donated millions to GOP-linked groups. My amendment would prohibit federal funds, taxpayer dollars, from being used for advertising on the partisan political platform of Fox News.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, a T, and then a T. Okay. Oh, here's some good news out of Michigan. Michigan's constitution allows Governor Snyder to be recalled in July.
Yeah.
Hooray!
How awesome would that be? If all this gets undone in record time. Thousands of Main Street Movement protesters marched yesterday on the Michigan Capitol to protest his constitutionally flawed assault on Michigan workers. Michigan voters, however, can do far more than simply make their displeasure known to Snyder and his allies in the state legislature. Michigan's constitution, unusually easy to amend. Oops.
Hmm.
And his allies become eligible for recall in just over 3 months. So we shall see.
Yeah, slacking.
What's that?
Yes. Snyder can't recall caring about the workers, but the workers care about recalling Snyder.
Yes.
Hey.
How about this headline? Another horrible Republican governor. Maine Governor Paul LePage stole candy from children, and he now wants to undo child labor laws.
He really did steal candy from...
I kid you not.
Yes.
What?
At an event, he told a crowd that when he was 12 years old, he used to hide out in the French-Canadian part of town and steal Halloween candy from children. He said, isn't that awful? And now I'm governor of Maine, he said with a laugh.
Wow. What a
but
scamp.
Now, yeah, now that he's governor, there is a bill backed by LePage that would roll back the state's child labor laws with the pretext of giving kids more liberty to work. We have the author of the bill said we have no other restrictions on any other things they can do. They can watch TV 32 hours a week. Why shouldn't they be able to work in a coal mine for 100? Why, it just makes sense.
Wow. The liberty to work.
The freedom to lose your hand in an industrial accident.
Yes.
And not have health care.
Yes. Ooh, it's baby's first meat-cutting accident. Okay. Right. Terrific. Thank you, Governor LePage.
Rendered Rahm Emanuel virtually moot.
Maybe we could get babies to work on lobster boats.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. There you go. They could put the little rubber bands on the claws.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
They can fix the reactor.
How hard can that be?
Baby lobster boat.
Listen, if they don't have the hand-eye coordination to do that, then, you know.
Then what good are they?
Life's hard.
Yeah.
Got to learn early. Oh, hey, look at the journalism they're doing over there at Tucker Carlson's The Daily Caller.
Oh?
Ooh.
The headline is, New O'Keefe Tape Shows George Soros Has Donated to NPR Before Last Year.
Oh.
Well, you know where you could have learned that? From NPR's press releases that have since 2000 that have said, yes, George Soros has donated to us.
Filthy class traitor.
Wowee. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, producer Daniel Slotik next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Am I trying to instigate fights by throwing wine at people just to get on camera? Of course not. I mean, is wine throwing something that even gets you on a reality show?
I do every night just for fun.
Why waste the wine by throwing it, though?
Yeah, it's true. That's why I have a straw with me at all times. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
If you were here, you could be in a beer-drenched city.
Yes.
Yes. Ooh. Oh, New York smells like what now? John, people say?
Oh, New York, my city reeks. Here's the thing. They have this thing called St. Patrick's Day.
Yes,
okay.
Yesterday.
When Irish Americans show their love for their Irish heritage by wearing Scottish kilts worshiping a Welsh saint.
Right.
And they come to New York selflessly donating their urine to our sidewalks.
Yes.
And their girlfriends leave the vomit.
Yes.
And
nice.
We get to be awash in this the next morning. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, my faux Irish Brit and tunnel friends.
The city, as David Letterman says, that makes its own gravy.
Yeah.
And this weekend is going to be delightful.
May the stank be with you.
Yeah, St. Patrick got rid of the snakes and put them in the outer boroughs.
I'd like St. Patrick to drive the Guidos out of Manhattan thing.
Yeah.
All right. Kids, name dropper that I am. Should I mention again, we had Sigourney Weaver on last week, who was amazing.
Yep.
She stars in this is an amazing film you got to see. Prayers for Bobby. It is going to re-air on Lifetime this coming, Thursday and Friday, March 24th. 4th and March 25th. It was so critically acclaimed. Speaking of which, my friend Daniel Slotik is an Emmy Award-nominated producer of Prayers for Bobby. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Stephanie.
My close personal friend.
Yes, we are.
Yes. So, I actually emailed you right after I watched the film, and I literally was still crying. And I said, you have to come on and talk about this, and I have to have Sigourney on. And since then, of course, I've heard the whole story. This took you, 13 years to get this made, right?
13 long years, and it was quite a journey. By the way, yours wasn't the only wet email that we received.
I know. Well, I mean, tell the story. It's based on a true story.
Prayers for Bobby is based on a true story. The book Prayers for Bobby was written by the esteemed journalist Leroy Ahrens. It was the one and only book that he ever wrote, and my partner, Chris Taff, found it on a bookshelf at a Different Life bookstore here in West Hollywood. And, page 10 into the book, he turned to me and said, oh, my God, we've got to get the rights to this story.
Well, and, I mean, and look at, obviously and sadly, Daniel, how, gay suicides had become such a sad topic this year. And this, again, is a story from the 70s about a gay kid that killed himself. Tell the story, though, because it really is remarkable.
Absolutely. Bobby Griffith was a gay teenager, closeted gay teenager living in Walnut Creek, California with his family. His older brother outed him as a out of an act of compassion, trying to do the right thing when he confided in him that he was gay. And Bobby's brother turned to his mother, and the rest kind of unfolded from there. She, based on her own religious fundamentalist upbringing, thought that the right thing to do would to be to bring him to the doctors and the priests and the counselors, the helpers, to try to heal him from his homosexuality. And as a result of that pressure, he took his own life.
And, I mean, her, what it becomes, though, you know, and Sigourney Weaver, obviously amazing in it, but, I mean, it becomes her journey from, you know, this very religious mother that obviously believes in reparative therapy because that's what her church and her, whoever told her would work, to a gay rights activist.
Gay rights activist, yeah. Of, as far as PFLAG, Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, the national nonprofit organization, is concerned. Mary Griffith is their poster mom. She made a tremendous transformation from a religious bigot to a tremendous human rights activist, and to this day she is on the front lines fighting for the rights of gay and lesbian youth.
And she's still religious today, right?
She is very spiritual today. Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Which you can be, by the way. We had our friend, my friend and yours, Shelley Wright, on again last week, and, you know, I was telling her how powerful that moment was of hers on Larry King when she looked in the camera and said, "I'm a Christian and I'm gay."
You know, I love Shelley Wright, and we were just together in San Diego talking about this, and she told me that seeing Prayers for Bobby was a turnkey moment for her in her decision to come out of the closet, which really just, you know, took me by surprise to hear that. But, you know, there are plenty of people out there who are gay and lesbian, bisexual, who are very religious, very spiritual. They have a tremendous relationship with their God, with their religion, and you know, at the end of the day, there's only one definition of equality, and, you know, I think that love is God. Mary Griffith will tell you that love is God. It's the theme of her speaking and such,
and I was saying that trajectory of her, you know, from early in the movie, the scene where she says, "I will not have a gay son," and, you know, to her speech at this, you know, council meeting where she says, "I killed my son," and she's in tears, and then becomes, as you say, you know, just gives the most powerful, moving speech about be careful when you say things like that because a young person is listening, and then, you know, the final scene of her marching in the gay pride parade. I mean, it's an amazingly moving story.
Well, Sigourney is an amazing person to begin with. She brought her A game to this film. She delivered a performance from the heavens. It resulted in her being nominated for the Emmy Award, the Golden Globe Award, and the Screen Actors Guild Award. The picture was nominated for Best Picture for the Emmy Award. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think she brought such truth and such dignity to the role of Mary Griffith that it's impossible to not be completely moved by the truth of Mary Griffith's story.
Daniel, as you know, when I see you, I'm normally drunk, so I don't remember what I'm supposed to say on air and what I'm supposed to say off air.
Uh-oh.
But now, but you know, most people know it takes a long time to get a film made. And you had mentioned, you know, originally there was another actress attached. We don't have to say who, but you were saying that, you know, it's interesting. You were saying she wanted to go a darker way with the character, and you just didn't, you know, because you said you don't think she's an evil person. She's someone that you know, really believed in what her God and her church and whatever she thought were telling her.
Absolutely. And, you know, my partners, David Permit and Chris Taff, and I set out from the very beginning to make this movie as tremendously accessible. We needed to know that our mothers could watch this film and find compassion and find truthfulness and not be offended by anything in the movie. And that's very rare today in movies in general. I mean, you know, we live in a very progressive world, as we should, and dealing with gay issues on film in itself is a complicated reality. And being that our broadcaster was Lifetime on this picture, we set forth to make a movie that would be very, very accessible and really bring people into the fold and not give them any reason whatsoever to walk away from finishing the film.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, so many issues in the news now that we are talking about. You know, I see the latest headline, Democrats launch offensive on DOMA. I mean, clearly we're making progress, you know, on so many issues that are looking hopeful, right? I mean, don't ask, don't tell, DOMA, even Prop 8.
Yes, and, you know, while the repeal of DOMA was introduced into the House, I'm not exactly optimistic that it's going to move forward anytime soon, but there are two other bills that are moving their way through the House. One is the Safe Schools Improvement Act, and the other is the Student Non-Discrimination Act.
And being that there is a high profile in the media, you know, real attention from media on gay suicides, gay teen suicides specifically, you know, I'm hopeful that these two pieces of legislation will have a better chance of gaining more traction. By the way, I should point out that, you know, I'm very close with Jody Huckabee. He's the national executive director of PFLAG in D.C., and he and I have discussed back and forth the incidence of teen suicide and the statistics, and what's been pointed out by both Jody and Charles Robbins, who heads the Trevor Project suicide hotline.
Yep.
The incidence didn't fall. The incidence of teen suicide didn't decrease. What's happened is the focus of the media has increased.
That's right, yeah.
And that's really profound to you know, focus on, because everybody thinks that there's this rash of teen suicides that are happening amongst gay and lesbian kids nationwide. Suicide is the third leading cause of death amongst kids 15 to 24 years old.
Yeah.
And that statistic has remained the same for, you know, many years now. It's really mind-boggling. And when you think that these kids who are coming from rejecting families are more than eight times as likely to have attempted suicide, then what we're doing is the right thing by putting more focus, attention on this, and hopefully driving this legislation forward.
That's right. Well, you know, and I am, and Charles is a friend, and I work with the Trevor Project as well, and what, you know, he's doing there, and what you're doing at PFLAG, and prayersforbobby.com is the website. I mean, it really is, that heartens me, is there are so many good people that really care, you know, about kids that are out there trying to make a difference. And
well,
so,
thank you for that, and I'll tell you what was really cool, is that when Prayers for Bobby initially aired, 40 new chapters, PFLAG chapters, opened overnight.
Oh, wow.
There are over 200 chapters nationwide. There are 300,000 plus members of PFLAG. PFLAG is parents, families, and friends of lesbians and gays. And, you know, that's where the hope comes from. That's where our future lies, because ultimately it's like the civil rights movement. When white America got to the front of the line during the civil rights movement, it was a real turnkey. It was a real turn of the tide, because suddenly it was other people championing the rights of the African-American community.
Well, you know what, Daniel, you and I just had the good fortune to be with the Reiners the other night, Rob and Michelle Reiner, and this is what I was, you know, everybody says, like, God bless them, this isn't their fight, but they're the perfect examples of, you know, that, you know, when they came for me, there was no one left to stand up for me. I mean, they're right there on the front lines, and
absolutely,
they're straight, obviously.
Absolutely, you know, and ultimately, you know, in our global world that we live in today, we live in a media-driven world, you know, when it's easy to discriminate against someone until they're a member of your community, a member of your family, if it's your nephew, your niece, a coworker, you know, a business partner. Suddenly, if that person is lesbian or gay, you know, these laws start falling to the wayside. They, you know, this becomes ridiculous.
Right.
Because
it should,
it's really easy to discriminate against a stranger.
It should not be a partisan issue anymore, and yet we always try to drag Shelley right down in the partisan muck with us. She says she's not Democrat or Republican. But we're like, yes, but all the homophobes are clumped in one party. We're in the fight of our life. Pick a side,
well,
my friend.
There's a party of inclusion, and there's the party of exclusion.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, I was listening to the show earlier this morning, and you were talking about the certain governors who want to get rid of the child labor laws. And I have an 11-year-old progressive, very compassionate nephew who would be a terrific governor.
Daniel Sladek is the Emmy Award-nominated producer. Thursday and Friday this coming week, it airs on Lifetime Prayers for Bobby. Also, prayersforbobby.com. You got to see this film. Dan, so much. Thanks so much, honey. I'll see you again soon.
You're welcome. And it's out on DVD now everywhere. Amazon.com. Prayers for Bobby.
And Netflix, too.
Okay. Fabulous. Thanks. Bye, Daniel.
Bye.
Love you.
Take care. Love
All
you.
Right. Love you. Mean it. Okay. Fabulous.
What wonderful moral Hollywood types.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey,
what?
Can I have I need a...
Right-wing hypocrites!
Real quick, take your organ out for the ecclesiastical mood, please.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
John Fugelsang, did you see the estranged son of anti-gay Kansas pastor Fred Phelps said Wednesday the spiritual leader of the Westboro Baptist Church hit his wife and beat his children with a mattock handle? What?
I don't believe it.
They bled.
What's a mattock handle?
Well, funny you should mention that. It's,
well, how do you grab your mattock, Chris?
Yeah. It's some sort of digging tool of some kind.
I thought it belonged to a Vegematic. It was a broken Vegematic.
Yeah.
No, it's not a broken Vegematic.
You just have the mattock part without the Vegematic.
Right.
Why did he beat them? Did he think they were gay?
He said of his father, you can't ignore the fact he's done a lot of damage. He's hurt a lot of families, not only in the gay community, but the families of these soldiers. He also said he hurt his own family. He used his fist, he used his knees, and he used the handle of a mattock, referring to a pick-like digging tool. He used that in such a way that it split the skin on the back of the kid's leg, so they bled.
God.
Fred Phelps, he said, also hit his mother, but not with the handle of the mattock.
Oh.
So it's not like he's all...
No, you just saved that for the kids.
Yeah.
Right.
Just with his hands, so, you know.
He's trying to knock the gay out of him, I guess.
I hope this doesn't hurt the Westboro Baptist Church PR.
Yeah. He also, he says, abused prescription drugs when he was in law school.
Really?
If one was beaten with a mattock handle, why wouldn't one?
I would think that
one would need some painkillers.
Yes.
And they don't want to hate gay people, but God commands them to, and they're following orders. It's like Nuremberg with bad teeth.
Exactly.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Official song that tells us it's okay to go. Otherwise, we sit in the studio for the week and not realize that we're on vacation. Hal Sparks filling in for us next week on the big Stephanie Miller Show, and then we will see you the week after.
And John Fugelsang will be on next Friday for a couple of segments.
For his usual Fridays with Fugelsang.
That's right.
Nothing stops a Friday with Fugelsang.
No.
Nothing, except if I'm on in San Francisco and the radiation gets me.
That is true.
Steph, Shandy99 writes me on the Twitter machine telling me to tell you that Rumsfeld's book has an anecdote about your dad on page 88.
Really?
Yeah.
Cheese and crackers, my stars.
Yeah, so we'll look into that.
What sort of anecdote?
I don't know, but there's some good vacation reading for you to find out.
Let's
ask all of your listeners who've read Rumsfeld's book to call in and tell us.
How many of our listeners have read Rumsfeld's book? Come on.
Well,
at least no one will recognize me on the plane. They'll be like, well, that couldn't be Stephanie Miller. She's reading Donald Rumsfeld's book.
Just signed a deal to adapt it into nonfiction form.
Oh, good. Good. Thank you. Hee hee. All right. Oh, and also, this just in, Randy Rhoads has just confirmed my three-way with her in the Howard in Washington.
Oh, okay.
She actually is... I asked her what time, and she did the time check. 15 after.
She did not.
7 o'clock, 15 after time
check.
That's
funny.
Yeah.
I hope she does that on stage. And there are rumors of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal show traveling around the country, too.
I have heard this rumor, although it's like scheduling the Normandy invasion between you and me and Hal and venues.
The dates are a little doughy yet, so we have no announcements yet.
No.
But hopefully when you return from vacation, we'll have a big announcement.
We were just talking about some gay rights issues before the break. Newt Gingrich secretly funneled $350,000 to anti-gay hate groups last year.
Imagine that.
Just saying, they do tend to congregate in certain parties.
Well, frankly, that just shows that I hate the anti-gays. Frankly, that's what that's all about, frankly. And look how many times I got married to a chick, frankly.
He gave money specifically, a bunch of, the ones that, what do you call it, recalled those judges that voted for marriage equality in Iowa. Which one is this? I don't know which group it is. Iowa Faith and Freedom Coalition, something, anti-gay group, AFA. It has officially been labeled a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. AFA, known for making incendiary comments about gays, including, are you ready? Wait for it. Hang on. Blaming gays for crop failure, various other biblical plagues, claiming Hitler was gay, saying lesbians can't be justices, equating gay sex with domestic terrorism, and equating gay sex to heroin, just to cite a few of their greatest hits. Crop failure.
Crop failure.
Yikes. Now look what you've gone and done. All right. Armed with a fresh poll showing most Americans back them, Democrats in both the House and Senate will mount a coordinated attack Wednesday on the Defense of Marriage Act. Hooray. Hooray.
Mm-hmm.
President of the Human Rights Campaign said the debate over DOMA isn't about whether you favor marriage equality. It's about whether the government can pick and choose which marriages they like and which they don't. Thank you. Oh, by the by, segueing seamlessly to celebrity stack, an advocacy group says Anne Hathaway, Martin Sheen, Jane Lynch are among a group of actors, athletes, and business leaders urging President Obama to support marriage rights for same-sex couples. It's the, what is this called? The Freedom to Marry is the name of the group. So I don't, John, do you think he's going to come around? I mean, they're sort of signaling his position is evolving, you know.
I think he will come around after the 2012 elections.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be frank, Bill Clinton had to sign the DOMA Act because he knew he wouldn't get reelected if he didn't. I mean, Bill Clinton wasn't against it per se, but he knew it was a political liability. And the fact is that we still live in a very homophobic society. So I don't know, John.
You look at these polls, you know, I mean, in terms of, look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You're like, how much higher did the polling have to be where that's safe politically?
Again, the conservative folks are more organized and they turn out to vote better than sane people do.
Because sane people actually have lives.
Exactly.
By the way, Jodie Foster, very sensitive about her Beaver, the movie.
Sorry, what? Oh.
She's defending Mel Gibson. What? Her movie, The Beaver, with Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
She's defending her friend, Mel Gibson, declaring he's incredibly loving and sensitive.
Until he hits you.
It's right up until he hits you, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't date him and have a child with him. One.
Well, not a danger in her case.
Oh, by the way, the other headline is Mel Gibson overjoyed by the birth of third grandchild because it gives him another baby to punch. I don't know
Stephanie,
that for sure.
Allegedly.
That's what...
It was an accident. I was drunk.
Exactly. Pardon me.
He doesn't punch his babies. He punches the women holding them.
Oh, yeah. It's collateral damage.
Yeah. If they happen to be in the wrong place. Okay. James Taylor keeps skiing on a broken leg.
Ow.
Wow.
That seems unwise.
Well, maybe he takes the last part more seriously, winter, spring, summer, and
fall.
I've seen fire, and I've seen... Ow!
Ow. I love this story. Why is Fox News suddenly allergic to Beck's website, The Blaze?
Yeah.
Which thoroughly debunked the NBR James O'Keefe thing. They didn't make any reference to that at all, did they?
What?
Interesting.
Curious now.
Did James O'Keefe know that NPR wasn't run by black people when he tried to smear them? That confused me.
By the way, here's the other thing I love, is that Fox News keeps putting out, like, people hate teachers. They just hate them because, you know, they look...
The money-grubbing bastards.
Well, yeah, because of all the things going on in Wisconsin.
With their all-powerful unions.
They like stupid people. They tend to watch Fox News.
Two-thirds of Americans think a public school teacher should be paid more, actually, if you're paying attention.
Well, what do they know?
Yeah.
They're probably educated by public school teachers.
And cops and firemen and nurses, too.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. All right. Kids, that's it. We're on vacation.
Yay!
JohnFugelsang.com is the website, sir.
Indeed, and I'll be joining the cast of Laughing Liberally at the Midtown Theater come April. So
come
on down and see some off-Broadway progressive comedy, kids.
You're going to be near Broadway, not on Broadway, but near
Broadway. Right, I'm about half a block off of Broadway.
Okay,
half a block off Broadway.
Kathy Griffin's a block away, half a block off Broadway, but she's on Broadway.
How does that happen?
The government's organized it.
They don't go for booze.
Park spills in for us next week. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. We will see you in a week on The Stephanie Miller Show.